It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Carl Bates.
Welcome back to The Wire. Last week, thousands of secondary teachers went on strike demanding a better pay agreement from the government. The Post-Primary Teachers Association rejected the government's offer for a 1% pay rise, which they say is the lowest in generations. Amidst staff shortages forcing some schools to take days off with not enough teachers, in addition to a variety of recent curriculum changes, union leaders have said the education sector is stretched thin. As well, the latest Security Threat Environment report has shown that New Zealand is facing the toughest national security environment of late, with issues like global conflicts, violent extremism, foreign interference and espionage at the forefront of concern. I spoke with National MP Carl Bates about these topics, starting with the recent teachers' strikes. Teachers are continuing strikes following what they call an insulting offer by the government to raise pay by just 1%, which they say is below the rise of inflation. Can you tell me what your position is on the teachers' demands for a better pay agreement?
We really encourage the unions to come to the negotiating table with a commitment to constructive dialogue and a realistic settlement, you know, one that supports teachers, students, and ultimately the integrity of our public education system. You know, it's really disappointing that the union has chosen disruption over dialogue. It's disrupting student learning, especially those that are preparing for important exams and assessments right now. And I think it also puts undue pressure on families with parents and caregivers forced to make alternative arrangements when really their schools are no longer operating as normal for reasons that aren't justified right now.
Yeah, like you've just mentioned, Education Minister Erica Stanford said that these teachers going on strike over these demands is like using students as bargaining chips. Is there another way that the National Party proposes they can have their voices heard?
Well, I think teachers and schools and student voices have been heard. You know, we value our teachers and are putting serious resources, you know, into supporting them. Budget 2025 invests $2.5 billion in education. For the first time ever, we've seen teacher registration fees paid for by the government. It's $53 million. There's been $30-odd million for Aspiring Principals Program, helping over 800 teachers a year. And there's been $750 million going to learning support, which the previous government ignored for 6 years. Like, we have a government that's absolutely supporting education, and it would be great if the unions started off by acknowledging that.
The government has spoken of the need for a big investment in the education sector, like you've talked about a bit here. But so far, what schools are facing across the country includes these contentious negotiations, major course restructuring, as well as staff shortages. How does the government hope to demonstrate their intention to support or bolster the education sector going forward?
Well, I think the other way of looking at what you've just said is we've had teacher registrations rise for the first time in over a decade. We've had $750 million going to learning support. That's the single biggest increase in learning support in a generation. And unfortunately, we've got the unions having chosen disruption over dialogue 6 days into negotiation. Just simply not justifiable. Like, come to the negotiating table with constructive dialogue focused on a realistic settlement, and let's focus on building, as the government is, building a world-leading education system that all New Zealanders can be proud of, and that includes the NCEA proposed changes that you just referred to.
With the numerous curriculum shake-ups announced over this government's current term, from these NCEA changes to imposed basic learning requirements, do you have any concern that there is too much pressure being put on the education sector to increase performance on stretched-thin resources?
So should we just leave students not achieving the outcomes that they otherwise should or could, and continue to allow learning and educational outcome to go backwards? Like, isn't it a fantastic thing that we've got a government that is putting learning and literacy and numeracy at the forefront, that's mandated 1 hour of reading, writing and arithmetic every day, that said NCA is not delivering for our students, our New Zealanders' future, and we're going to change it. And by the way, we're consulting on it and engaging parents, teachers, industry, employers, farmers, etc., on what the future of that system looks like. Like, where's the challenge in those things? I think sometimes everyone, and the union in particular, should just take a breath and go, who are we actually focused on here? And our government is focused on ensuring young New Zealanders get the education they deserve and that teachers are supported to do their job. And, you know, clearly in those numbers that I just shared from Budget 2025, we've got a government that's doing that.
I'll move on to my next topic now. What are some of the key takeaways for this government relating to the latest Security Threat Environment report?
Yeah, it's an interesting report. The Security Threat Environment report does suggest that New Zealand is facing one of the most challenging national security environments in recent history, that we're seeing, or that that includes more foreign interference targeting our communities, more espionage involving sensitive information, and potentially more young people being driven towards violent extremism. And I think we have to have a mature and informed conversation about these threats, and our defence forces, part of that, ensuring that it has the right tools in place to deal with them.
How do you think the national government should balance security concerns and fiscal responsibility in the coming years with regard to maintaining and building on our diplomatic relationships?
I think, as I was saying, we've got to have those mature conversations, mature and informed conversations about the threats, and we need to make sure as well that our defence force has the right tools in place. I suppose that's just why we've just announced, or part of why we've announced, a $2.7 billion set of investment decisions as part of the $12 billion in planned commitments outlined in the Defence Capability Plan that we announced only a few months ago, and so that's part of it. I think it also shows how quickly the government is responding to the sharply deteriorating security environment. In terms of the way those decisions around supporting the defence force, as an example, have been announced.
Do you think that there is a way to support our defence or New Zealand on a global stage, I suppose, while considering that the costs for that are quite extensive and it does demand a lot of money that could be used in other ways, like in the education sector, in the health sector, or in New Zealand for people struggling with the cost of living?
So it's a good question, and I think it's part of our global commitment, where we've got commitments, we want to make sure that we're playing our part in terms of supporting New Zealand's defence force and are playing our part on an international stage. At the same time, we have a tough economic environment. We know we had 6 years of bad budgets that built up a massive debt with nothing to show for it. And now we've got to get the New Zealand economy out of that. We're doing that by focusing on building the economy, on growing our economic productivity, supporting business through things like investment boost earlier on this year in the 2025 budget. At the same time, having record increases in health spending, in spending on things like cancer drugs and the education system that we're just referring to. So you can continue to invest money to achieve better outcomes in terms of social services. But part of that is also about how we spend the money. And if you take education, for example, Minister Stanford went through 26,000 lines of spending in education, asking the question, along with her team at the ministry, are we getting bang for buck for this dollar? Is it actually delivering outcome? And I think sometimes we focus too much on, are we spending more money, and not enough on, are we spending that dollar well enough? And I know Minister Willis, our Minister of Finance, is very focused on ensuring effectiveness of outcome for the money that's been spent.
The Ministry for the Environment wrote in a briefing to this government that New Zealand keeping its global climate commitments will be critical for maintaining relationships with key allies like Australia, Canada, the UK, and countries across Europe. Will the government be taking this advice on board?
So I think that's a great question for anyone who's listening down in the Taranaki to come along and ask Minister Watts when he's in Taranaki in a few weeks' time. It's going to be a real pleasure to host Minister Watts as our climate change minister in the Taranaki and have an opportunity to engage with him about questions such as that.
That was National Party MP Carl Bates on teachers' strikes and staff shortages and the latest security threat environment report.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Carl Bates.